I'm showing 11:30 Central Time, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Certainly appreciate all of you for joining us this morning. We think it's important that you get a trade update here. I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, if all of you would please mute your phones so we can all hear very well. We have several of the staff here in Columbia on the line, and certainly appreciate each and every one of you. Two significant trade issues or developments that have taken place this week that we felt like warranted this call. Certain that you've heard a lot of discussion about it, and we feel like it's vitally important that you be informed, and probably you'll be getting lots of questions. On Tuesday, there was an announcement regarding $12 billion in trade assistance to agriculture. And then on Wednesday, another announcement regarding an agreement to ease trade tensions with the European Union. President Trump and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer have expressed hope of completing some new NAFTA deal as early as this fall. The aid package is actually going to be a three-part program. Radonna says that it's easier to remember if we think of it as three P's, payments, purchases, and promotions. More specifically, the payments would be direct payments to farmers based off of 2018 crop yields. My understanding, purchases would involve commodity purchasing effort to offset some of the losses related to trade, and promotion to help aid in finding new foreign markets or recovering some of those that have been affected. There will be several federal agencies involved, including the FSA, the Agriculture Marketing Service, and the Foreign Agricultural Service. I think maybe that's the very generalized report as to what's what we know up to this point. But we are obviously concerned with the situation and the impact that it's having on agriculture. But we welcome this announcement for a short-term fix to help our farmers through a difficult time. But our ultimate goal is to have resolution to where we can have global markets to sell our products. We are extremely pleased this morning to have Dale Moore with us. Dale is the Executive Director of Public Policy at the American Farm Bureau, has been there since 2013. Dale is probably one of the most highly respected ag experts in Washington, D.C., and we're certainly fortunate to have him working on our behalf there, and honored to have him join us this morning to share some insight. Got to tell you, I kind of look at Dale Moore as the Yogi Berra of agriculture, because I always look forward to the quotes that that Dale's going to share in relation to the issues we're dealing with. So I think at this time, Dale, we'll turn it over to you for any comments, but I want our participants to know we will have time for questions or comments or concerns after Dale finishes, so please be getting those. Dale.
Well, President Ankin, thank you so much. I have a feeling you've been talking to my wife, because while I may have folks listen to me in Washington, she likes to point out that I'm just plain full of it, and that's kind of where I start from. I am so pleased and privileged to be on the phone with you all today, and an opportunity to visit with several of my bosses from Tennessee. President Akin, you did a great job outlining exactly what Secretary Perdue has announced relative to kind of this three-legged stool of temporary assistance to help producers out. It is a program that, and we've been careful to point out, they talk in terms of it being up to $12 billion in funding for this these particular this three-pronged approach. Most of that, we believe, is going to be going out through the payments to farmers. And as Mr. Akin pointed out, that's going to start with the sign-up. We anticipate from the Secretary's announcement, we anticipate that to be that first week of September, right after Labor Day, and that's going to operate through the Farm Service Agency offices. We also know that probably the last week or maybe 2 weeks before the end of August, we should see more details come out in a Federal Register notice. And certainly your team here in Washington is going to be pulling those details together to make sure that we get that out to Ms. Radonna and all of our counterparts around the country so that that can be shared and the farmers and ranchers know what they need to work with. I think some of the question marks that are out there, and Mr. Akin, you touched on it, this is going to be based, from what we understand, going to be based on 2018 crops. It's going to be tied to what you actually harvested. And that has raised a question that we are putting a list together of, and certainly any of the questions that you all have, we would like to add to that list. But going to the department and saying, what about those producers who, got impacted? Maybe this is a down harvest year. Maybe there are other factors that weigh in. As we know, for example, from some of our specialty crop producers that, that have harvested a crop before it gets to this point, how are they going to be counted into, say, the commodity purchases, and how is that going to benefit the various efforts that are out there? We also have been emphasizing the Secretary's point that this is a temporary assistance. Again, as you pointed out, Mr. Akin, this is not something that we expect to be a solution. But this is helping farmers and ranchers, should be and is designed to help farmers and ranchers deal with, us being the target from a number of countries, China, Mexico, Canada, European Union, who have imposed tariffs on U.S. agricultural export commodities and crops in return for what they feel like, what they're frustrated with, the administration's efforts on other things like steel and aluminum and washing machines and solar panels and intellectual property. So this is one where I think, some in the media and even some on Capitol Hill have been making a lot of hay out of the fact that they're referring to this as a bailout of farmers. And we continue to point out to them, this is not a bailout of farmers. This is farmers being helped by something that was totally beyond our control. Not something caused by Mother Nature or any other factor that you all have to deal with day in and day out, but by something that the president and his initiative to try and straighten out things with China to negotiate or renegotiate NAFTA and work with the European Union has just caused us to be right square in the crosshairs. One of the things that was mentioned, and we have been digging into this further, when the president stood up with the EU commissioner and Ambassador Lighthizer and others and talked about reaching a deal with the European Union, we've been hearing more and more that the European Union, has been typical of them over the last couple of decades, they don't want to include agriculture on this list. Over my time spent in Washington, both on the Hill and at USDA, this was an ongoing battle when negotiations with the European Union would kick in. And we talked about it generally referred to as an early harvest. And what the EU would like to do is talk about banking and automobiles and manufacturing and financial services, et cetera, and then leave agriculture to last, knowing full well that if they get to that point, they frankly don't want to make a deal on agriculture. So we are going to be digging in on that particular issue to make certain that the administration understands how important it is that agriculture be on the table all the way through the process, and that no deal should exclude agriculture, because they're going to need us, frankly, if they reach a deal with the European Union to get such an agreement passed on Capitol Hill. Kind of backing up again to the assistance side of the equation, I think that their expectation is that as soon as farmers can sign up and they can go through the process and they have a factor type equation, they will start issuing checks as quickly as they can. The commodity purchases is probably going to be a longer timeline in terms of two factors. One, identifying the commodities that have been impacted and being able to purchase those for programs like senior feeding programs, the school lunch program, and also other types of efforts, working with faith-based groups that run soup kitchens and other community-based soup kitchens to find a home for those commodities that they purchase, but also to do it in a way that doesn't displace commercial sales that are already occurring. And then, as was mentioned, the foreign market development-like programs is one that's going to be focused more on working with organizations commodity organizations or other types of organizations that can help reach out into a foreign country and try to, you know, start opening those dialogues that can lead to marketing opportunities for some of our commodities. But I think that also is probably the longest term, but it's also the area where we will probably see the least amount spent, because most of the focus is going to be on helping farmers directly. And with that, Mr. Akin, I will shut up and let you all answer questions, and hopefully I can sound smart doing so.
Thank you, Dale, for being with us. Folks, this is a great opportunity. Dale, along with President Duvall, they've been involved in numerous meetings with administration officials over this trade issue. And so at this time, any questions anyone would like to pose to Dale?
Walmart, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Is this a one-time deal? It's been my experience that tariffs last more than 1 year. And then you wonder where the $12 million is coming from. Will it be done again next year or what?
That is a great question. And Mr. Akin, you just reminded me, too, with your comment, reminded me that Tuesday of this week, I'm losing track of the week already, but Secretary Perdue and Undersecretary Bill Northey, who has the farm programs, Undersecretary Greg Ibaugh, who has the marketing and regulatory programs at USDA, and also Undersecretary Ted McKinney, who covers the trade side, plus a couple of, the senior staff, the chief economist, Rob Johansson, and Jason Hafmeister, who is the ag trade expert that works directly with Undersecretary McKinney. All of those individuals were on a call, and Mr. Duvall had requested if the secretary could let us know what was going on. The state presidents, state Farm Bureau presidents, had a chance to listen to basically what I'd walked through and what Mr. Akin had pointed out at the top of the call. So the answer to the question is yes, this is being portrayed, being laid out as a one-time temporary relief based on the current actions and reactions that are going on in the trade and tariff battles between the various countries I mentioned. You are absolutely right. These tariff fights, they could go on 6 months to a year. Just a few weeks back, Ambassador Greg Dowd, who is the U.S. Trade Representative's lead agricultural negotiator, shared at the Council of Presidents here in Washington, D.C., that this is probably, again, a six-month to a year-long effort to sort these issues out. Our hope is, and what we have been pushing for relative to, our opportunity to visit not only with Secretary Perdue but others in President Trump's administration, is that we need some wins. We need NAFTA negotiations to get concluded. We need some of these tariff battles to be ramped down and get sorted out so that we can not only start working to repair and restore our markets with those countries, but we'd also like to see the president, relative to his campaign points back in 2016, that he was going to be seeking a number of new bilateral trade agreements, and here we are 18 months in, and we're still working to get some of those done. So that's where it is, and you're right, this is deemed to be a temporary one-time assistance, but that's going to put a lot of pressure on the president and his team to get these issues sorted out. Relative to where the money is coming from, this is flowing through the secretary's authority under the what is referred to as the Charter Act, which dates back to 1930. It's probably one of the broadest laws that gives the Secretary of Agriculture the opportunity to effectively go to the U.S. Treasury without first having to get approval from Congress. And that $12 billion is coming out of his annual borrowing authority that he can go up to $30 billion, but that borrowing authority of $30 billion is also what helps pay for other, like the farm programs, conservation programs, rural development, and so forth. So that's what we're wrestling with.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
If you're not asking a question, please keep your phone muted so we can all hear. We have a question for you from here at the headquarters. Dale, do you anticipate that the checks might be issued in 2018 or early 19, and will farmers know the amount in advance? I think we're asking that from a tax benefit.
Yes, sir. From what we understand, the sign-up will start or will open up that first week of September, right after Labor Day. And based on talking to some of the Farm Service Agency officials that were on there, the way it's going to work is that I would come into the FSA office and say I harvested 100 bushels of soybeans, and they would and whatever documentation is required to do that, they would take that number and then they would multiply that by the trade impact factor, as they've referred to it. It's not exactly clear how that factor was calculated, whether that started from kind of the first day that discussion started having an impact on the markets or when the tariffs themselves were imposed. That's something we're going to have to wait and see what comes out in the late August Federal Register notice. But the understanding is that the time factor will be when the farmer can come into the FSA office and show what he or she was able to harvest on the particular covered commodity for the year, and then that will be plugged into the system and the check written in a timely fashion. So we would expect checks. Frankly, I'm expecting checks to start flowing as early as the first part of October, and will kind of flow on through whatever time frame they have, and would anticipate there may be some checks coming in 2019, but again, that's a detail we're going to have to check on the Federal Register notice as soon as that comes together.
Other questions for David?
Larry Kick in Clayton County. How does this help the small cattle farmer?
On the beef side of the equation, as we understand, the direct payments, I should hesitate to call them direct payments, but the payments to farmers, directly to farmers, is going to cover a number of the row crops and pork and dairy to some degree, dairy farmers. The beef help that's going to be coming, as we understand it, is going to be focused in that second leg of the stool that Mr. Aiken pointed out, that the commodity purchases, and that's how they plan to focus on the beef equation, because from their calculation, I spent 4 years working with the National Cattlemen, still have a lot of contact with some of the folks I worked with there, and one of the things that they have shared that they understand when they've asked that question is that the department, in doing the economic analysis, the impact analysis, has looked at where beef prices have been since the first of the year, including some, a couple of the spikes up that have occurred, and so that was why they did not include beef in the direct, in the payment portion of payment to farmers portion, but are focused in focusing the efforts that they intend to do on the commodity purchase.
I know tobacco is a significant crop here in Tennessee. I think it's also said tobacco will not be covered in this assistance package as well. Is that correct, Dale?
That's what we understand. I know when we were visiting with the undersecretaries, Mr. Aiken, one of your counterparts, Mr. Wooten from North Carolina, asked that very question. And they basically said very simply, no, tobacco is not included in this program. But you're absolutely right. I've talked to both tobacco folks representing tobacco farmers, but also a couple of folks who represent tobacco companies. And, they're not only impacted by the tariffs, they've been told directly by folks in China, which is one of the major markets, that they simply are not going to be purchasing any U.S. tobacco for the time being. So there is nothing in the program to help tobacco farmers, and that's one of the shortcomings that we have already pointed out to USDA.
Other questions for Dale?
Yeah, Jerry Barron.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. All right. I've got a question. Would these subsidy payments, for lack of a better term, be affected by WTO sanctions down the road? I mean, is something that we're doing now come back to bite us later on?
Excellent question. And just to help you out, one of the things, I know I sound like a guy from Washington when I say this, we're referring to these as mitigation payments. Because some of the reporters are liking, enjoying calling them subsidies and bailout payments. And so from a standpoint of mitigation, pointing to the fact that, you all are dealing with impacts that you have no control over, we have no control over, and so that's how we're characterizing it. From the standpoint of the WTO, we are not too concerned, and USDA has confirmed this as well, we're not too concerned that this will have an impact from the standpoint of whether or not they're an amber box or green box or blue box type of payment, because for most of the commodities and in the overall aggregate measure of support, we have sufficient room that this should not have an impact. That's one part of it. What could be a challenge, and this is something, again, we're still waiting to get more feedback from the experts within both USDA and the U.S. Trade Representative's office, is how other countries are, if they're able to make the case that, well, for example, China imposed tariffs on us because the United States imposed sanctions relative to, both Section 301 and Section 232 on steel and aluminum. So there could be a case made, or at least a charge made by some country that these mitigation payments are in effect. Find ourselves, 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, being charged by some other country and yet having to face another round of fights like this, or, going back to what cotton producers, took a beating over the Brazil cotton case.
Next question.
This is Jim Blatter. Go ahead, David.
Is that going to be anything different, the MP payment on the milk? Is that going to help them in that respect?
That's a very good question, because we don't quite know how they're going to approach the payments to dairy farmers in that first leg of making payments directly to, farmers and ranchers. It will not be an MPP-type payment. Part of what the Secretary is doing and required to do so that he stays on the legal side, and I'm not an attorney, but I, pretend I am one every now and then. What occurs under the Secretary's Charter Act authority is that that he's got a lot of flexibility, but one thing he cannot do, for example, he could not simply pick up the current ARC PLC MPP type programs and say, I'm going to make payments through this structure, because that would require Congress approval. But he can, you know, by his authority under the Charter Act, essentially create a parallel program or a shadow program or something, you know, even more straightforward. He could go back and pick up something like the old MILC program or something similar and say, I'm going to use this structure for this temporary measure to make payments to producers. Again, that's one of those details that we know will be spelled out in the Federal Register notice, but they've been pretty short on details, particularly for dairy and pork, as to how they plan to provide that assistance.
Thanks, Mike.
Jim,
yeah, this is Paul Forsberg, and I was wondering, I kind of agree with David Womack that, you know, these trade negotiations is a long-term process, and what's being done to resolve the issues? So is there hope that it may be resolved, or if it's just going to be a hard line approach from both sides?
Excellent question, and I can tell you, based on what we have heard the president say, and you all probably heard it as well, you know, he is taking a pretty straightforward and hard line that he's going to make these folks in other countries get in line. And that could be a long, drawn-out process. Our hope is that they will start, you know, I shouldn't say start because they've been doing this, but ramp up their discussions with the Chinese. We understand that there was a lot of discussion this week with the European Union, and we saw that particular announcement. Our hope is that similar things are going on with Mexico and Canada. And what, President Duvall has pointed out, both to Secretary Perdue and to some very high-ranking folks within the White House, is, you know, we appreciate that, you know, the president is following through on his commitment to provide mitigation for these impacts, but we really need to see some wins. We need to see, you know, some landing stones, whatever the terms are, to show how we are not only going to get these trade battles stopped or completed, whatever the right term is, but also, how are we going to restore these markets? I grew up in Southwest Kansas, and we deal a lot with, you know, my granddad and dad grew grain sorghum, and China was our number one grain sorghum exporting market, almost $900 million a year. And before any of these other, you know, tariff battles started, China had shut down grain sorghum because of the fight over solar panels, washing machines, dishwashers, et cetera, and so. If everything changed tomorrow, we know from experience it could take, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10 years to get that market back in China, because that's about how long it took to get it there in the first place. And that you have to go almost commodity by commodity, to achieve that. So to your point, these are long-term, drawn-out battles, and just getting the fight over is simply the first step. We're all going to be working our tails off trying to figure out how do we get these markets repaired and restored, and the trust relationship established, so that we can move forward and hopefully get the target off of agriculture.
We had indicated we'd try to hold this call to 30 minutes out of respect of your time, but I know Jim Bledsoe had tried a couple of times to ask a question. Jim, we'll take your question if it hasn't been addressed, and then we'll close out.
As a poultry producer, is poultry being considered in this mitigation? And if it is, would the money be coming to the integrator or the producer?
Well, I'm smiling when I'm answering this question, because one of the few things I've noticed that can get Mr. Duvall pretty wound up in a hurry is to start talking about integrators. And I have a feeling you are probably the same way. What I understand is that poultry has not been mentioned specifically, but it is something that, again, we plan on asking the questions related to poultry, you know, chicken, turkey, et cetera, relative to the commodity purchase side. It's also a question that not only now, but going back to when I was at USDA, that this question popped up quite frequently, and I spent a lot of time trying to think of the careful way to say it, wrestling with the poultry companies, particularly the chicken companies, because of the very point of how the integrators and the contract growers and all that relationship works. It's something that, at this point, I honestly don't have a clear answer for you on how that would work. But I guarantee you that if poultry is going to be considered, we are also going to be making a point that if there are any payments made on poultry, the grower needs to be considered. But my guess is that if they do anything on poultry, it's going to be more in the commodity purchase side, less so than any other approach. I do believe that poultry is also going to be be open to one of the commodities considered under the market promotion type approach. And again, as it just popped into my head, one of the things that USDA's chief economist pointed out is their analysis has looked at which commodities and crops have been impacted over the course of the year, and that's one of the things that I am guessing part of the reason I have not heard poultry mentioned at this particular point. But we will certainly raise that question, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Dale, I said we'd end, but one question here that I think most of our folks would be interested in, is there any chance that the money runs out before everybody gets signed up, or if it exceeds, is there an opportunity for it to exceed $12 billion if there are more acres, more bushels out there than what's perceived? Do you know how that would happen?
That's a good question, Mr. Aiken, and I will right up front tell you I will be on the call as long as you all need me to be on the call, as I work for you all. What I can tell you on the number side is that it is up to $12 billion. Just having had the opportunity to work with some of the folks at USDA when I worked there in a former life, I strongly believe that they have picked a number that they think is covering their calculations of the losses that have occurred. But I also know that we're in an election year. And there are folks on the Hill that are going to be looking at this, that if they try to cut things off before, you know, that last farmer impact has had a chance to, you know, share his or her situation and get appropriately compensated, I think they're going to keep this program open. I think that if it carries on and if the losses keep mounting up because of, you know, the fights keep escalating, I think that there's going to be enough pressure. You've already done this once. So, you know, we're having more impacts and you need to help everybody that you can. It's certainly something that we're going to be, again, a question that we're asking as to how that works. And I would just have to say right now, I believe that Secretary Perdue believes that the $12 billion should more than adequately cover what their expected losses that have occurred per their calculations so far. I don't believe they're going to cut farmers off, nor do I believe that, as we've seen in past, you know, disaster type situations where they say we have $100 to operate from, and if we have $200 worth of claims, then everybody gets 50 cents instead of a dollar. I don't anticipate that to be the approach that they're taking. They're going to do a straight up calculation, because that they also have to be mindful of the challenges of administering this program through their FSA offices and the workloads that are already going to be on those folks heading into fall harvest.
Thank you, Dan.
Mr. Aiken, can I ask one last question, Womack?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you said the sign-up would start September 1. Very small part of the crop is harvested by September 1. Most of the larger farmers in the state store or sell their crop by the end of the year. So if the crop is harvested, do you have FSA come out and measure it? I mean, you can't tell on September 1 how much you've got. How's this going to be handled?
You raised one of those questions that we've already got on our list, and that is how this process will work. What they indicated to us is that they want to start to sign up as early as, you know, that first week of September. The way they have described it is that as you harvest your crop, you come into the FSA office. But we have very few details on what they're going to require as documentation. You know, my dad, before he passed, he worked part-time for FSA, and a big part of his job was measuring bins, what's in there before harvest, what's in there after harvest, things of that nature. So that's part of the reason that the farmers that are going to get a payment directly are operating through the FSA programs, because there's a lot more familiarity with all the different ways that a farmer may market and store his or her commodity. So we are anxious to get those details so that we can get those out to you all. But the timing factor in terms of even though the sign-up starts September 1, if you don't harvest until, you know, October 1 or November 1, that's when they would expect you to come in and sign up. But that's just a very general understanding we have.
Dale, one final question, I promise, and then we'll end the call. Any advice that you could give us on how we might respond to elected officials or others who are referring to this as welfare?
That is a great question, and it's something that, you know, is going on all over, and I think that there's kind of two parts of that. One, and you have stated this, and I've, you know, seen your quotes on this. That's very much in line with what President Duvall has been saying, is like, first, you know, we appreciate that, you know, Secretary Perdue and the administration has recognized that agriculture has been targeted unfairly, you know, in this trade war. We appreciate that he followed through on his commitment to help us mitigate the impacts of this trade war. But make no mistake, our number one focus is how do we restore the markets that we have lost? How do we repair the relationships, the trading relationships that are out there that we need to keep moving forward on? And we need the administration to work with us to get these issues resolved, whether it's on NAFTA, whether it's on the tariff fight, whether it's on getting things sorted out on new trade agreements. That's what's going to help agriculture the most. You know, it sounds like a bumper sticker, and maybe it is to some folks. We want trade, not aid. But when farmers and ranchers are being impacted by something they have zero control over, the federal government is stepping in to help us make sure that we're around next year to plant a crop in 2019.
Dale, we thank you so much for taking time from your busy schedule to join us here in Tennessee today. But more importantly, we thank you for the great work you do representing farmers and agriculture in D.C. We appreciate you so much. To our folks on our call, if we have other comments or questions, I encourage you to please don't hesitate to call me or any of our staff here in Columbia. And if you haven't attended a PD meeting yet, that'd be a great opportunity for you to share your thoughts on these issues.
Yeah, it's pretty.
As a reminder, the President's Conference will be coming up in 2 weeks. So with that, thank you for your commitment to Farm Bureau and all you do for the agriculture industry here in Tennessee and across the country. And we will end the call now. Thank you all.